We have a little different order in our worship today. It's in your bulletin if you'd like to find that. And I'd like for you to turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. If you're not familiar with where to find that, you haven't been with me the last 14, 12, 13, however many weeks it's been. A year and a half, it feels like. Amen. So if you would, turn with me to Exodus chapter 14. And then I tell you what, you find the end of that chapter. And I want us to look at where we were. Now, you know that we've been looking at the Red Sea rules this last few weeks. And last week, we talked about being delivered through. So at the end of chapter 14, let's look and see where we were, okay? We're going to have a brief introduction. We're going to sing some more in a minute, so just hang on. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 14, starting with verse 28, it says, "Then the waters returned and covered the chariots." Why? Because God had opened up the Red Sea for his children. They'd walked through on dry ground. And after they got through and they looked back, here comes Pharaoh's army. And what did God do? He removed his hand from the waters. It fell back over their enemies. And it covered the chariots, the horsemen, and all the army of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. Not so much as one of them remained. But the children of Israel had walked on dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Now we get to today's passage because you see, you know what happened. This incredible, incredible miracle, one that we remember from childhood, where the Israelites had walked across the Red Sea on dry ground, such an incredible miracle, and then God wiped out all of the army of Pharaoh. Now, he sent all of his army, not some of them, because you may remember that there was a few Israelites, and even though they weren't armed like the Egyptians, there was 600,000 families. How many? 600,000 families. Probably close to 2 million people or more, and they were coming through there. Now they're standing on the other side, and they've watched the waves and the water come down on top of Pharaoh's army. They are wiped out, and they're all standing on this hillside looking back over it, and they're all going. Chapter 15, are you with me? Chapter 15, we find the first recorded song in Scripture. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider has been thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him.'" Folks, people were excited. God's miracle of parting the waters of the Red Sea had saved them, not once, but twice. First of all, it saved them when he parted the Red Sea and they were able to walk across on dry ground. The second time that the sea saved them was when it fell back in and God removed his hand and it destroyed Pharaoh's army. The Israelites had just faced their worst nightmare. They got away from Egypt, and then the armies came after them. God led them to be trapped between the sea, the mountains, and an army, and they were just delivered. God had trapped them there, and they whined. You remember? They didn't stand there and go, "Oh, we know God's going to deliver us." What did they do? "Why did you bring us here? Moses, what are you thinking?" And they sit there and they whined and they cried. And Moses boldly told them, he said this, he said, "Stand still." In other words, he said, "Shut up. Get quiet. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord." And God rolled back the seas and they walked through on dry ground. Pharaoh's army followed. The walls folded and not one of them was left, the scripture says. At first, 600,000 families stood on the opposite side, looked back over that sea and the ocean with a few helmets or robes and floating around on the water, because you got to know that there was a lot of debris there. And at first, there was absolute dead silence. They were stunned. Their jaws were hanging open. And then all of a sudden they realized, they're gone. Our terror is over. The enemy is gone. Somebody finally exhaled after the water came in because it had been just... And somebody, did you see that? Then a whisper started, and then a buzzing, and then a shout went up somewhere, and somebody shouted, "Praise God!" Except they probably said, "Praise Yahweh!" And it washed over the people like the Red Sea had just washed over all of the Pharaoh's army. And somebody shouted, "We ought to sing to God." And that's where this first song came from. It didn't sound like one of our songs. It had a little Hebrew flavor to it. And the scripture records it. It says, "Sing unto the Lord. He has delivered us." Sound good in Hebrew for you? "He has triumphant gloriously. Horse and rider has been thrown into the sea." Made that up. And then somebody else hollered out, "Somebody blew the shofar." His name was probably Brian. And then some guy probably named Nathan grabbed his family. Probably was Nathan. Grabbed his family and he said, "Hey, repeat after me." And he said, "Look, you just echo whatever I say to echo." And he began to sing. And he said, "All you ladies, repeat after me. You ready?" He said, "He is my God." And all the men, you repeat after me. "He has become my salvation."
"He has become my salvation."
And then everybody sang, "Jehovah is our God.
Jehovah is our God."
Listen, these people have been slaves for over 400 years. 430 years they had been slaves, and the floodgates of emotions began to break, and this massive nation of people began to sing. Their voices literally interrupted the sky and erupted up to God like a volcano, just boom, because they were so excited about what God had done. God was moving. They sang. They were not Baptists, so they danced. They got so excited because God had delivered them. They cheered. They clapped to exhaustion. Folks, doesn't that make you want to sing? Folks, I want to share with you today. I just gave you my introduction. Now I'm going to preach to you. Are you ready? These people that stood on the side of the sea that had just delivered them, God had delivered them with the sea, they stood on that side and they began to praise God. God brought them through their dilemma. Now listen, I know that we seem to have dilemma after dilemma after dilemma. Things happen in our lives, in our nation, in our churches, and they just keep happening. But I'm going to tell you what, are you still here? God is delivering you daily. And we are coming, I hope and pray, to the end of this COVID stuff. But the thing is, it doesn't matter if it's COVID or if it's the flu or if it's some other pandemic or whatever is going on, God is still our deliverer. He still loves you with an everlasting love. And folks, when He brings us through, we need to stop. We need to look back over what God has done, and we need to give Him praise. Our problem is that He takes us through and we just kind of give Him a nod if we even do that, and we go on. Folks, why don't we stop and give the Lord praise? We cannot, we should not ever forget to praise God. Here we are today. We need to praise God. How can we? How can you live a more praise-oriented life? I'm going to give you some keys, so I'm glad that you asked. In your bulletin are a number of ways that'll remind you. First and foremost, folks, we realize that praise and worship are the mortar that hold the bricks of our lives together. You've got to realize that God loves you and He loves to hear from you. Don't forget, you belong to God. Don't you like it when your children stop and say, "Hey, love you, Dad. Hey, love you, Mom. Thanks for all you do." God is the good Father. Every segment of our day should be encased in praise, even the tough times. If your life seems to be falling apart, Try praising God for it. Maybe he's trying to show you something. Maybe he's trying to grow you. And as you are growing, you need to praise God. And maybe you will not get out of that particular desert time of your life until you begin to say thank you for it. Does that make sense? If it doesn't, why don't you go back and read about the Israelites that's coming up for them in the rest of Exodus? Folks, we need to praise God. The second thing that you can do is daily acknowledge him as creator. Stop and say, God, I give you the glory for being the creator of all things. You know what? I think that you ought to do this tomorrow morning. You ought to get up early tomorrow morning, take your coffee or your juice or your marshmallow cereal, whatever it is you do for breakfast in the morning. Go out on your back porch. Talk to God. Listen to God. Notice the beauty of his sunrise, the grass, the tiny flower. Thank God for his creative genius. Amen. If you can't do it by looking outside, go look in the mirror and say, God, you must be a genius. Because you've never been able to make something so funny looking in all my life. Yeah, that's what I have to do when I look in the mirror. I say, God, man, you know what? God loves you so much. He created you. You need to stop and give him thanks and glory. Listen to God's professors of praise. You know who that is? The birds. Stop and be still and be silent and listen to the praising of God from nature. Praise God for the small things. Praise God for the large things. Praise him with song. It goes something like this. Sing with me. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Let me hear you. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. Sing it. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Folks, you need to sing. Give God the glory. Here's another thing you can do, and this is something I mentioned a little before. Quit listening to the world. You know what? I think that you can do like I did and turn off news radio for a while and get your sanity back. Quit listening to what the world's got to say and listen to what God's got to say. Whether you're at home or whether you're at the office, turn on some praise music. Listen, there are a number of them out there. If KSBJ is a little too rocky for you, there are others. Believe me, come see me. I like a little more sedate music. Brenda likes the boom, 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 boom. I like a lot of them on there. But I tell you what, I like a lot of the old stuff too. And I'm going to tell you, if you can't find some place that you can find some music on the radio, get your CD player. And if you don't have your CD player, turn this one on. And just start singing yourself. Amen? Talk to God. Sing to God. Give him your worship and give him your praise. You say, well, Pastor, I just don't sing very good. I said, why don't you just ask the author of the one who made your voice box, ask him what he thinks about it. Because God loves to hear your praise. God's word says he inhabits our praise. Folks, I heard of all people Rush Limbaugh this last week say, you need to turn off media radio. I said, you go, Rush. And I turned him off. He said, if you will turn off this, all your TVs, all your stuff. He said, yes. He said, including us. He said, me. He said, just turn it all off. He said, you'll begin to find your sanity in about a week. Our problem is we listen way too much to the world and not enough to the Lord our God. We need to listen to our Lord It'll change your heart. It'll change your mind. Replace the world's voice with God's voice and with praise to God. And when it's on your radio, join them. Do your best to sing with them. The fourth thing that you can do is pray and give God your best appreciation. Now, let me just stop there a moment and talk about that. Give God your best appreciation. You ever have been really thankful to someone? And you said, oh, well, thanks. I'm going to tell you, it sure makes a difference the way you say something, amen? I mean, my wife has told me that. She said, it's not what you say, it's how you say it. She doesn't sound it in that voice, you know, but are you with me? You know what I'm saying? During your prayer time, instead of rattling off a list of problems, spend at least a few minutes thanking Him. Amen? I got some great advice for one of our young men this week. I love what he said. He was just telling me about some things going on, and he said that one of his friends told him, he said, when you're praying to overcome your problems, are you just praying to distract, or are you really praying to talk with God? Wow, pretty good thoughts. When we pray, are we actually stopping and giving God glory in the moment? Are we really tuning ourselves to Him? Think of the things that you've never thanked God for before. Get down to the little stuff. God, thank you that my cereal had more marshmallows in it than usual this morning. You know, I eat the marshmallows out before I eat the cereal. We like the good stuff. It's the little things in life, right? So many times. Listen, why not stop and say, God, thank you for all the small things and the large things in life. Think about those things. Ask Him to show you. Be still and listen. Accentuate the positive. Be thankful for the things that are good that are going on. Remember that the silver lining theory is real. And if we will think about those things and bless God for those things, it does indeed affect our attitude. The fifth thing, and today we can do this, be faithful in attending church, amen? Now listen, even if you can't get there, at least turn it on somewhere, amen? Radio, television, wherever you can get there, but be faithful in attending God's church. And while you're there, don't just show up, do something. Participate. Don't just be somebody who sits and watches, but be one who pours themselves into the worship service. Concentrate on worship. I've been in worship so many times in the past, and I hope you're not, if you're not listening, you better listen now because I'm fixing to get you. I have been in worship so many times where I see people that are actively engaged, singing, praying, being a part. And then I'm always disappointed when I see somebody who just won't join in. They come to church, but they remove themselves from the worship. You know what I'm saying? Oh, irritating, isn't it? I hope nobody had their phone in their hands. If you did, I hope you had it turned to your Bible, right? I know some of you look at your Bible on your phone. But I'm always disappointed when somebody refuses to engage. And I'm disappointed for them. They're looking around, they're talking, they're poking at one another, they're texting on their phone, they're doing anything except letting God speak to their heart. Folks, when you come to church, when you come to worship, engage with the Lord your God. You know what? Maybe we just need a crisis to bring us back to our... Wait a minute. We've already had one. And we're building on another one. Do you know one of the reasons that God allows us to go through crises? Do you know? It's so that we learn to trust Him. It's so that we learn to give it to Him. So that we learn to say, God, whatever you want, whenever you want, however you want, I'm following you. And if you lead me here, I'm going to praise you. And if you lead me out of it, I'm going to praise you. And when you lead me to it, I'm going to praise you. Amen. So folks, understand this. To praise Him when we come through it is wonderful. But to praise Him as we endure it is even better. God wants us to praise Him. Can we just praise God that we're back together again today? Can you do that with me? If you're at home and you're watching at home, praise Him with us. It reminds me of the story of the 10 lepers. Do you remember the story of the 10 lepers? Jesus came and there were 10 men who had leprosy, and He healed all 10 of them, and they all left, and one of them came back and said, "Thank you, Lord." And He gave him thanks for healing him. And didn't Jesus say, "Hey, weren't there 10 of you?" That reminds me of a story that a grandfather told me. He said that he had decided he was going to give a very nice monetary gift to all of his grandchildren. And he pulled money out of the bank and he wrote them all a check and he sent it to them with a nice letter to say, you know, how he was proud of all of them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He sent it to them. I mean, it was a very nice gift. And every grandchild sent him a letter back saying, "Thank you so much." All but one. And he said, you know, he said, "You would think that I would have concentrated on all the ones who sent me a thank you and said thank you." And he said, "It meant a lot to me." But he said, "You know what? That one granddaughter that did not say thank you, it made me just really kind of think, I don't ever really want to do anything for her again." Are you with him? It was his to give, not hers. She never even as much as said thank you or sent him a note or anything. And he said, "I just did not feel very eager to do anything for her again." Don't you want to make sure that the God of the universe hears your praise? Now, God's not petty like we are, but I'm going to tell you, there is something about greasing the skids from heaven by saying, "Thank you, Lord," and by giving Him praise. How can we live a more praise-oriented life? Number six, develop the power of a proper perspective. Develop the power of a proper perspective. You see, wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, not from your own. You see, there are earthly views and there are heavenly views, and they look very different when you see things from God's eyes and when you see them from our eyes. Let me just give you one biblical example. In Revelation 18, the scripture describes the destruction of the future city of Babylon. And it is the city of sin. It is the city of debauchery. It is a city of horrible things. And the scripture says that it is the evil headquarters, and that in 1 hour it is going to fall to a smoldering heap of ruins, and that those on the earth who are watching it are going to weep and mourn and cry and say, "Alas, alas, our great city." But in Revelation 19, in heaven, they're watching the exact same thing from above, and it says they are celebrating. And they're singing. They're crying, "Hallelujah! The evil has fallen." Oh, what a difference perspective makes. And boy, what a difference it makes which team you're on. Amen? When evil is conquered, we should celebrate. Do you remember when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah? And He said, "Don't even look back." Do you remember? One person looked back. Lot's wife looked back, and in her looking back, she was longing for the sinful state. She was longing for the way they lived life there, and God took her life. We need to ask God to help us keep a heavenly view. Amen? One more. Set your minds on things above. The seventh thing that we can do to live a more praise-oriented life is set our minds on things above. Now, you might say, "Well, isn't that the same thing of a proper perspective?" Well, have the proper perspective that whatever goes on with you is of God, and you let God have it. Secondly, then, and following that, is you keep your heart and mind on the things above. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says this, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth." Our problem is that we are very temporal-minded. Amen? Listen, I am too. I like stuff. I like things. I enjoy life. But this is not where I'm going to spend eternity. I need to be preparing and spending more, saving up for what I'm going to be doing in heaven than I am right here on this earth. The scripture says that we toil here. And he said, don't store your things in warehouses here, but instead, store them in the storehouse of heaven. Listen, if wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, listen to this. If wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective, then praise to God is the natural reaction that comes with that viewpoint. Are you with me? When you see things from God's view, don't lament it. The natural reaction of the Spirit would be, praise God. Lord, whatever you're doing, praise God. Praise is our expression of our joyful confidence in God, even when we don't know what's going on. You ever been through a week when you didn't know what was happening? Like this last week? Folks, we need to understand that praising God is our expression of our confidence in God, even when we don't know what's happening. We give God praise and say, Lord, it's yours. It's up to you, Lord. Praise is our expression of thanksgiving to God for what he has done, for what he is doing, and for what he's going to do, even though we don't understand it all. Praise belongs to God, whether it is before he delivers you or after he delivers you. We're to give God praise. Don't you understand that God's word says God will make a way? And when he does, and he always does, give him praise. Would you join me in prayer? Just bow your head and with me. Close your eyes before the Lord and let him speak to your heart for just a moment. Can I speak to your heart quietly for just a moment? Perhaps this morning, you, my friend, have come to church and you've finally got here, but your heart is still wrapped up in all the stuff that's going on outside. The pandemic, or the riots, or the injustice, the wrongdoing. Would you just give it to God right here, right now? Just give it to God, would you? If you have wandered from the Lord, would you rededicate your heart to him right now? Would you just say, God, forgive me for wandering. Would you receive me back home? The scripture says that the angels of heaven are going to rejoice. If you've never given your heart and life to Jesus Christ, why would you wait? Right now, would you pray for God to forgive your sin? Would you claim and would you just share it before the Lord that you believe in who he is and what he's done? Scripture says that if you will believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You trust in him. Perhaps this morning, and I want to turn this, perhaps this morning you have a prayer need. Maybe you have a prayer need this morning, and I'm going to ask you if we could just all pray together even now. If you have a loved one that has a health need, would you just say, yes, I do, right now, just out loud, yes, I do. How many of you have a relative or a loved one with a spiritual need? Say, yes, I do. God hears that. He knows who it is, doesn't he? Would you pray for our country? Would you pray for our leadership? Amen. Would you pray for the healing of our nation? And we're going to spend a few moments in quiet prayer, but I'm going to ask you, if you have a decision this morning that you need to make, don't wait. And I'm going to ask you to share it with me. Whether it's a rededication, you can just come to me and say, Pastor, I've rededicated my heart and life to the Lord. Pray for me. Or perhaps God leads you this morning to receive him for your Lord and Savior for the very first time. Why would you wait? Pray right now and ask him to come into your heart. And I want you to come tell me during our song service at the end. I want you to come tell me. Don't forget to praise him. Would you join me in prayer? Precious Father, we come to you. knowing that so many times we are watching the world instead of watching our Lord. Forgive us, Father. And Lord, would you help us to praise you? Father, this world needs to hear that there is someone worthy of praise. They need to hear that there is someone worthy of our loyalty and our love. They need to hear the message of Christ Jesus. God, help us to stand, not just for righteousness, but help us to stand for the word and sharing with others that they might know it as well. Father, we ask for your strength. We pray for our loved ones who have health needs. Amen. We pray for our loved ones, Father, who have spiritual needs, and we ask that you would bring them home. Give them strength and give them your peace. Father, we pray for our nation. We ask, Lord God, that you would help our leadership, our mayors, our governors, our Congress, our Senate, our President. God, would you help them to make right decisions to guard and protect our country and its people? And God, would you help us to shout to you in joy and thanksgiving for all you give and do, even in the midst of our troubles? Thank you, Father, that you have us in the midst of a growing time. And even in the midst of the hardship, Lord, would you help us to give you praise, because you're worthy of our praise. We are so thankful for who you are, for what you've done, and what you will do. We glorify your name, and it is in Jesus' name that we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.